Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. You join us here at 6:16 in the morning, so I apologise if I'm not fully decibeled up this morning, but we're getting there. I don't want to wake up everybody in my neighbourhood, although they should all be watching Formula One this weekend, as with every weekend Formula One is on, Tommy, because Formula One is life.
Formula One is life. Yeah, I am the same. That early hours of the morning, got my daughter in the room next door, trying not to wake her.
I was going to say, she's in the room. Why is she in the room?
She's
bro?
Asleep right here. No, didn't fancy getting up for free practice of the Australian Grand Prix. So still got a lot to teach her.
Disgraceful. Yeah, I'm going to have a word with her definitely next time I see her. Now, before we dive into what happened in a quite eventful practice session, we have a 5-star review to share with you. This one comes in from Indy1016 from the United States of America. If you want to help us out, if you want to share your love for the podcast, then please do let us know why you love this podcast, and we may well read another one out next time. As a relatively new fan, I find the P1 podcast to be equal parts entertaining and informative. I love that Matt and Tommy are passionate and knowledgeable. Questionable on that second one. And I appreciate how quickly the podcast updates. In addition, I've recently joined the Patreon and the Discord community. They have been welcoming and a lot of fun. Anyway, let's get into free practice one. And the big story has to be Alex Albon and the fact that he crashed at exactly the same place that he did last year. Which you wouldn't think is the biggest story. Okay, he's made another mistake. But the problem linking with that this weekend is that Williams, they ain't got no spare parts. They ain't got another tub to give Alex Albon in the case of him damaging this one with the impact, which I think he obviously has in some way because he didn't run in free practice too. And a very strange situation for Williams to be in. I'm a little bit shocked that already at this stage of the season, Williams are trying to save where they can.
Yeah, it's bold from Williams based on last year. Of course, they won the Destructors Championship, which was, of course, Logan had a lot of incidents, but Albon too. Of course, like you mentioned, Australia last year crashed at the very same corner. So they had a lot of damage last year, and for a team to go into a race like this with no spare chassis is a bold decision, to say the least. And Alex Albon may have just cost his team big, because he might not even do qualifying tomorrow at this rate. Who knows? Shocking. I mean, the fact that I said Alex Albon Q3 in my bold prediction, and then he's probably not even going to do qualifying. He's just peak my predictions, but shocking, absolutely shocking. But for Albon,
that's coming off the back of a 5-star review I've just read out, saying that we're knowledgeable.
I know.
I'm not sure where they've got that from.
No idea.
Because my goodness me, Tommy, your predictions are sometimes quite impactful. Question from N33_Emma. Should another driver be able to take over their teammate's chassis due to significant damage, like in the Albon incident? Yes. This is Formula One. It is a savage sport. There are sometimes number one and number two drivers. And if it has to happen, it has to happen. It's happened throughout Formula One history. We've had Formula One drivers literally take someone's car in the middle of a race in order to then win a world championship. It's, you know, it's not, obviously that was a long time ago.
But that was a very long time ago.
Yeah, but it's happened. And also, look, it's a Formula One team at the end of the day. These drivers take part as part of a Formula One team. And should they decide that their better driver should take part in the weekend, I think that is definitely, it's in the rules. You're allowed to do it. Whether it's emotionally correct is up for debate. For me, Williams especially, a team that have to score points where they can. Are they putting their front foot forward if they continue with Logan Sargeant for the weekend, if they have to make the decision? No. Is Logan Sargeant going to score points? Probably not. Is Alex Albon going to potentially score points? Maybe if he doesn't crash at the same corner again. So it is a difficult decision, don't get me wrong, because James Vowles has been hyping Logan up over the off-season. You know, he's back, he's fresh, he's feeling good. I've not seen any indication that he's driving any better than he did last year. As of right now, he made mistakes in free practice today as well. So it's a difficult decision. Don't get me wrong. It's pretty cutthroat, but it's Formula One.
It is Formula One. It can be a very harsh sport. And of course, from Logan's side, he will be like, well, I'm not the one that crashed here. So you can understand why he'd be gutted about it if he couldn't take part because his teammate crashed. But based on the form for the whole of last season and the start of this season, they are more likely, like you say, to get points with Alex Albon. So perhaps that's the way to go. It would be incredibly harsh on Logan, the fact that, you know, he's not had a big crash or anything, and then he's the one that has to sit out the session after, I was going to say, like, a complete mistake-free day, but then even, yeah, he had a small spin, but then a lot of the top guys did as well, which we'll get into later. But, yeah, it's not the best start for Williams at all. They've not looked as exciting as they did last year. They're well clear of not being like the worst team like we knew for years, where they were always going to be like P19 and P20, which is good to see. But yeah, they need to get some points on the board, and not the best start at all.
No, not the best start. And come on, Tommy, let's put ourselves in James Vowell's position here. Let's not flirt on the fence here. Let's not, you know, what are we doing? You know, let's make a decision here. Are we, if they have no, well, not if they don't have a spare tub, they don't have a spare tub, but if they can't repair the tub, what do we do? In my opinion, if I'm James Vowell's, I go, thank you, Logan, for your participation this weekend. We'd like to have you sit on the sidelines and put Alex in the car. He will then be like, oh my God, that's so unfair. And then James Vowell will then reply and say, well, you have 23 more races than you should really technically have this year than perhaps what your performances suggest last year. So therefore, that's not that big of a deal. That's how I'd deal with it. And I'm sure James would have some lovely, eloquent words to make him feel better.
Yeah, he'd probably put it in a way that makes Logan be like, he goes out the meeting like, oh, brilliant, I love James Vowell. And then, wait a minute, he just told me I'm not driving. I feel like that's exactly what would happen. But you've got to go for Albon. It's a mad thing to say because, and there'll be a lot of people going, but he's the one that crashed. But based on all the form, Albon's the one that's going to give you a chance of points. So harsh on Logan, but, and it's Albon's fault totally, but you've got to, this is Formula One, like we've said so many times as well, points are going to be so scarce this year with the reliability of Formula One now and how many top teams there are. So every point's going to count. You know, if they stick Logan in the car and the car's pretty good and he finishes 11th, you think, oh, Albon could have got 9th or 10th there. And they get to the end of the season and they're, you know, it's not out the question to think that 7th to 10th in the Constructors' title could be separated by like 2 or 3 points. So
absolutely,
every point counts.
Yeah, because there is a big chasm between those top 5 teams and then the rest of the field. And look, Alex Albon has shown that there are mistakes out there, but we've seen throughout the whole of practice as well, both in FP1 and FP2, that there are mistakes out there for everybody, which could, in theory, open up a point or two and not have those top 5 teams all finishing with 2 drivers. So let's see. We aren't ignoring the fact that it is emotionally a very difficult decision and would be very harsh on Logan. Absolutely not, because, yeah, that would feel gut-wrenching for Logan. But as a team, you have to put your front foot forward at all times.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, let's reflect a little bit more on those off-track moments, because we saw in Free Practice 1, Alonso, Hamilton, Perez, Verstappen, all going off at some point during Free Practice 1. And then the question from Jack J. Sexton. Could there be a red flag during the race given how much damage the cars seem to be taking? I guess Jack maybe is saying perhaps debris, or I don't know. But what we are seeing is that runoff isn't a thing around Melbourne, which I am now starting to realise how much I've missed non-concrete runoff. God, it's so good to see a driver make a mistake and actually be punished. It is. I never realised. Albert Park is the greatest track on earth. I watch it. You know, they're having a swapper. They're off onto the grass. They're going over the gravel. They're being punished. They can't just carry on. Oh, they got a track limit warning. Whoop-de-doo. This is a proper racing track. And I'm loving to see the fact that they're having to rein it in a little bit. Saudi, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of walls in Saudi, but there are also a bit of runoff that you can make mistakes at the high-speed corners. For this, you make a mistake, you are penalised massively. And I love that.
Yeah, so do I. We of course, did that patron pod recently, didn't we? And I think we had this very discussion of, you know, the first race of the season, everyone finished the race. First race of the season, you're like, how is everyone finishing? No errors. I think the only thing that someone made a mistake was a little whoopsie from Hülkenberg at turn one, but very minor sort of, you know, clip around the corner. And, you know, we're looking back at old races that have happened. Australian Grand Prix normally used to be the first race of the season. And you had like six or seven people, you know, having a crash or going off. And then look at last year. Most red flags we've ever seen during a race. Albon went off. You had the crash at the end. You had incidents. And so much of it is because you can't just bail out on runoffs. You know, you make Albon's mistake, in theory, that happens at Bahrain or maybe Saudi, depending on where it is. You're just carrying on. You go straight over some concrete runoff and you're absolutely fine. But
you're emotional, bro. So I can't. No. Come on. You shed some tears.
My voice hasn't woken up yet.
My God, the energy.
But then you go straight in the wall. So tiny mistakes can be punished, and you don't want to see. You know. You don't watch Formula One for drivers to DNF, but you want some jeopardy. That's part of it. You want to see incidents. You want to see drivers being punished. They're meant to be, you know, the best drivers in the world. You want to see... It should be difficult. You want it to be difficult. And in that session, I really hope that... I hope it continues the rest of the weekend to a point and we see incidents during the weekend, because we've probably seen more... drivers going off and it actually being significant and dramatic than we have probably for the entire season so far. And it's only been two races, but this is practice.
And just to clarify, incidents, you mean mistakes, obviously not crashes.
To
kind of clear that up, because I know what incidents can obviously mean. And to answer your question, Jack, yes, I do think there could be a red flag. As we said last year, it was absolute carnage. The wind is also a factor again this weekend that are catching drivers out. We could see a red flag, as we could with most weekends. But I think there is a higher likelihood around here, because you know, you have a big crash in a certain area and there is no way of continuing racing. Yes, we shall see. Free practice 2 now. And I'm going to enjoy reflecting on this one, because Charles Leclerc was fastest. Ahead of Verstappen and Carlos Sainz, but so far ahead, he can hardly see him in his rear view mirror. 17.2, nearly 4 tenths clear. And, well, that's amazing. I hadn't even seen what the first question is. But it comes in from Joshua Page. How DeLulu is Matt right now? You caught me mid-DeLulu. That is amazing. The belief has gone through the roof with that. With not just that lap, but the consistency that Leclerc showed with the fast times in free practice 2. Of course, he made a mistake or two along the way, But yeah, they actually, Ferrari look quick. And I'm not just saying that like I do every weekend. Ferrari genuinely look quick where I am. I'm ready to put everything on the line again. You know, championship back on.
Maybe all we needed was to basically write them off our predictions completely because...
The one time I don't go for Leclerc on pole and he's looking like he's probably going to get it.
Yeah. They're looking very good. Verstappen had a lot of issues. I'd be amazed if Leclerc got pole by 4/10, but I wouldn't be amazed if Leclerc got pole based on how it's going. So, it's going to be... It's made it a bit more exciting. I do hope Ferrari are in the mix. Carlos... is quite a way off at the moment. Whether that's just him, just like sort of slowly getting back into it. Because I mean, look at the gaps between teammates are massive anyway. So you can't take too much into practice apart from the fact that yes, Ferrari. But then we knew that anyway that they are the second quickest car based on this season, and we all know what Charles Leclerc can do over one lap. So. Yeah, I think it's certainly made qualifying a lot more intriguing tomorrow. It's exciting.
You said gaps between teammates are massive, but failed to mention that Lance Stroll's absolutely chefed up and beaten Fernando Alonso in that session.
Yeah, well, FP2 doesn't matter, does it?
As you mentioned very briefly, Max Verstappen did have some issues. I think he was about 15 minutes late to getting out there due to some floor damage that he had from free practice one, and that's it. That is literally it. One wide moment through that incredibly fast and quite possibly one of the most underrated corners, I think, in the whole of Formula One. That fast left right in the middle sector is like, it's great and everyone, we appreciate it, but I don't feel like it's spoken about that much when we actually move away from Australia, and it is so awesome to see those cars go through there. And Martin Brundle, you know, he was down there. You can see he's in awe as well. And we've seen many camera angles from that particular spot, you know, flying into that left-hander where it's one of the only static cameras where you go, my God, these cars are quick. Yeah. So that was an area that lots of drivers were making mistakes, not just going on the gravel, but just running a little bit wide onto the exit curb. And just with how much they're bottoming out, that can damage the floor quite significantly as well. So, and especially for someone like Carlos Sainz, it's probably going to damage his body a little bit as well. It's going to be an uncomfortable ride if you make a mistake through there. So fascinating to watch that throughout the weekend.
That chicane, it's just one of so many corners that you get parts of Formula One tracks where you go, oh well, this is the corner where they're punished. Whereas Albert Park, it seems to be everywhere, really. You know, we saw incidents. I don't know how many times you see cars, and this is something that's happened for years and years there, go over that first chicane. Then there's the corner that Albon crashed. Then there's that chicane you mentioned. Then there's the tight right-hander that Logan spun at. So and then the final corner, also like people going off, it punishes you everywhere. And I think that's what makes this track so good. And that's why we've seen so many incidents today, because it's not just one corner that they have to be a little bit careful at. It's the whole track.
Absolutely. Question from Jan_TrueBasic. How is Hamilton this far off Russell? Is his head already in 2025 and in red? Can't imagine the car being this bad for him and his driving style. Okay, so Jan, I'm just going to say right here and right now, it is practice. So let's just rein it in slightly. If he ends qualifying 9/10 down on Russell, then we can have the conversation. But Hamilton very clearly struggling today. I think he even came over the radio asking, what times is everyone doing, mate? And you know, as soon as that team radio comes up with Hamilton asking that, it's going to be one of those, oh, can't do that. Oh, that's insane. Or whatever that his response then is, because Bono then said it, I think Leclerc was doing a 22.8 on mediums. And then Hamilton just went, something is wrong. So Mercedes genuinely looked really bad in this session. They were making mistakes. They looked unsettled. And yeah, it's if anything, it's got worse. Like Mercedes have got worse this year in some ways. Like they're falling further and further behind Red Bull. And how many more years is this going on for? And then you think, oh, has Hamilton actually made quite a good decision here going to Ferrari? Because look where Ferrari are right now. At least they're showing potential over one lap. They're getting better in the race. But I'm not going to jump to conclusions that Hamilton is that far behind Russell, but there are clear problems that they've had today.
Yeah, I think we had a similar conversation after Saudi that Hamilton does tend to start the season a bit slow. And then, you know, based on the first two races, then he's gone into another practice session and struggled a bit. But we can't take too much from Mercedes in practice, because sometimes, and normally, it's when they top the sessions is a lot of the time where they seem to be the worst. So maybe it's all part of a master plan to be rubbish in practice and actually get some relevant data for the race and be good. But joking aside, I don't think they're going to be, because they look like they're really, really struggling. I think I heard correctly in the session that they've reverted back to their old floor as well. And you've just got to think, like, how are they ever going to beat Red Bull if they keep going back to old or like completely, you know, they changed their whole car halfway through last year. If they're not pushing forward and they keep making like steps backwards and go, oh, we actually need to revert back to this or do this, like, they're never going to get anywhere near Red Bull. So, at the moment, I mean, you've got Ferrari looking very good indeed. The decision of Hamilton leaving looks like a pretty good one as it stands, because Mercedes are not having a good time at all.
No, they're not. They're seeming like they're lacking direction. And as you say, you know, reverting to this, changing things mid-season, it feels like they're scrapping around just trying to find a miracle to get back towards the front. And that's not what we've come to expect from Mercedes for so many years. And it's very strange to see them in this sort of period of time. But we will see. They'll probably be on pole tomorrow after this. So we'll have to tune in.
I will make a bold prediction and say they won't be.
Okay, wow. Well, speaking of your predictions, you also said Piastri was going to be on the podium. Seventh in free practice two. Apparently decent race pace being shown, but then I'm pretty sure we were lauding McLaren's race pace in Bahrain and they weren't really anywhere near the front. So maybe an Aussie podium is looking quite far-fetched.
Yeah, we need that carnage, definitely, for a Piastri podium, but at the moment, it's looking like it's going to be Ferrari versus Red Bull.
And my Ocon biggest good surprise is looking great, with him 17th and 14 thousandths behind Gasly in 15th. Alpine looking like they've really picked it up since I've done that. But look, it's all competitive tomorrow, where we will be live on Twitch. Matt P1 Tommy, if you haven't followed us already, we will be. It's going to be an interesting one. You're going to have seen me and Tommy crawling out of bed. Not the same bed, I wish. But we are going to be some serious amounts of Delulu, I promise you that. And I'll be waking up my entire neighbourhood if Charles Leclerc is on pole. So we'll see you then. Tommy, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are that it's been nice.
You thought it was done.
I know. It's been nice to actually talk about some incidents in practice. So, you know, if we get a banging race, good quality, and there's lots of incidents, then I think it's time to start lining these new circuits with grass right up to the edges of the track. And we've found the solution to Formula One.
Lovely. We're not doing any knee-jerk reactions here, and we will see you tomorrow for our quali reaction. Lots of love. Bye. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.